Psalm 6, 1 through 9. Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, or discipline me in your wrath. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am languishing. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are shaking with terror. My soul is struck with terror, while you, O Lord, oh, how long? Turn, O Lord, save my life. Deliver me for the sake of your steadfast love. For in death there is no remembrance of you. In Sheol, who can give you praise? I am weary with my moaning. Every night I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with my weeping. My eyes waste away because of grief. They grow weak because of all my foes. Depart from me, all you workers of evil. For the Lord has heard the sound of my weeping. The Lord has heard my supplication, and the Lord accepts my prayer. The word of God for the people of God.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
All right. How you doing? Yeah, all right. Yeah, terrible, great. You know, there's all kinds of things going on, right? Frustrations with plumbing. I know of that, at least, in one case. We are getting ready to turn a corner, in a sense, here with Easter, right? I mean, Easter is a time to celebrate. It's actually not a time to lament. It's a time to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. However, even though we're turning a corner, I feel deeply impacted by this sermon series that we've gone through. I think it has opened my heart and my eyes to certain ways of being that I will not forget, and I'm actually grateful for that. Even for me personally, to be honest with you, 2021 has been far more difficult for me personally than 2020 was. I seem to just kind of put my hand to the plow and just go for it. And then some things have happened in 2021 that have been, on just a very personal level, very difficult for me. And so this whole timeliness of lamenting and I find myself actually resisting lament because I'm the kind of guy that you take what life gives you and you make the best of it. You know, I still believe that actually. I think that God, when we allow God, God will take anything that we go through and can bring good things out of it. Amen? Amen. But at the same time, I think the journey to get from where you're at to those good things includes this concept, this idea of lament. And so today, this is the final message of this series. It's also the final Sunday in Lent. It's actually Palm Sunday. This is the last Sunday of Lent, and it's been a powerful series for me. I hope it has been for you. In fact, I hope that you've come to discover the grace of lament and the song of lament. Again, I just want to remind you, we don't do this all the time, but we've done it twice in a row, but we have been leaning on Pastor Mark Vrogrop's book, Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy. I'd highly recommend you to purchase that book if you would want to go deeper with this, because we're really just still skimming the surface. But anyway, so let me just jump in now after my own little personal testimony and go with the message today. What I want to do is I want to talk about lament and making lament personal. It's easy to talk about stuff and go, you know, say that was great and go through it, but how do we really bring this into our everyday lives? And again, I'm going to be skimming the surface, and others who have shared have touched on specific things that I think were helpful applications for us. But let me just kind of jump into this. So lament is the song, and I like that. I love that phrase right there, that lament is a song. And it is in the Psalms, right? Again, we talked about one-third of our Psalms are Psalms of lament in our Bible. Lament is a song that we sing in the space between pain and promise. And that alone is something that you could contemplate for a while. Because we experience pain. And by the way, in this life, you live in a fallen world. You know that, right? We live in a broken world, a world that is not working right, and as a result, there is pain. There is pain in our world. The scriptures are very clear. Genesis chapter 3, in fact, from the very beginnings, it says two primary things. God is the uncreated creator. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and humanity chose to rebel against God and fell. And really, almost all the rest of the biblical story is dealing with the ramifications of that fall. So our world is full of pain, but it's also full of promise. We have the promises of God. The greatest promise of all is for those who have surrendered to Jesus are going to be with God for all of eternity. But lament is that place, that's that song we sing sometimes between pain and promise. Because sometimes I just feel pain. I know the promise, but I don't feel like I'm realizing the promise. And Scripture's pretty clear about that too. In fact, the whole chapter, Hebrews 11, is devoted to those who believe the promise without ever receiving the promise. Hello? Come on. We love Hebrews 11, but think about it. These are all people that were being celebrated because they believed the promises of God, even though they never saw it accomplished. So lament is the song that we sing in the space between pain and promise. So in the series, just with a quick review, I introduced the idea that we see examples of lament throughout the scriptures. I'll come back to that in just a few moments. But these biblical expressions, they give us permission and language to pour out our pain and grief to God. In the Psalms, we find a pattern of lament that can be helpful just really quick. You turn to God. Almost all the Psalms of lament do this. You pour out your complaint to God, you ask God for what you need, and you express your trust in God. To make it even simpler, turn, complain, ask, trust. Turn, complain, ask, and trust. We've also talked about this fact that to cry is human. I just emphasize that. All of humanity is crying. All of humanity is crying in some way. All of creation is crying. You know that? All of creation is groaning, awaiting for the sons and daughters of God to be revealed. But lament is a gift given to those who are followers of Jesus, because lament gives us language for our pain. Lament, you know, we don't have to just go to a counselor, to a therapist. We can turn to the living God with our pain and express that and believe the promises that God has for us. And for whatever our situations are that we're praying about. So then we walk through the book of Lamentations. In chapters 1 and 2, we discovered a lament as our eyes are open to a broken world and a holy God, which I've kind of already touched on. There is a reality. If we open our eyes to really see that the world is broken and that God is holy, that should lead us to a place of lament right there and right there, right? Lamenting over the condition of the world and for people. In chapter 3, we are encouraged to confess the truth of God's character and therefore find hope amid our pain and suffering. So to confess the truth of God's character in the midst of our pain, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. That is recounting the character of God in the midst of a city that has been absolutely destroyed and a people that have been almost annihilated. But in the midst of that, the writer of Lamentations confesses the character of God, and that gives him hope. In chapter 4 of Lamentations, we were invited to unearth our idols and to lament over the destruction that they've brought into our lives. And then in chapter 5, last week, we learned that lament can be a roadmap to grace. Hallelujah. And I sense it's work doing that in me even now. And I was blessed to be able to worship in the songs that we had today, because there's a mixture. If you notice in those songs that I like about all of them, they're raw and they're honest, but there's confessions of faith and of God's character. And yet I will praise you. Yet I will sing to your name. Hallelujah. Love that. It's awesome. But at this point, we need to ask ourselves, and again, probably because I think everyone made a good practical applications for us, but we need to ask ourselves how lamenting applies to our daily life. In other words, we are, as far as from the pulpit at least, kind of turning and going in a little different direction now with Easter and what follows. But I think lament really should be a part of our everyday life. So I'm going to just look at four things real quick. And there's 50 of them. There's 1,000 of them probably, and I've just got four. There you go. First you were like, oh, four things. How long is that going to take? But I could have done 50, okay? So you can be grateful for that. The first way I want to talk about lament is lament in Scripture. And what I mean by that is how we even read the Scripture. Because as I've already said, the human experience is one of pain and sorrow. I mean, just look at our history. Look at it with reality eyes. Our history as human beings is full of pain and sorrow. In the Bible, you will discover circumstances and personalities that are a vital part of this historical song of sorrow. And it runs all through humanity. It is a song of sorrow. If you study the Scriptures, you will find more lament than just in the Psalms. So it's not just in the Psalms. From Genesis to Revelation, we are confronted with the biblical response to sorrow, and that is the lament. And you think about it. It runs throughout the Scriptures from the fall of humanity. But then think of Abraham, who laments over the fact that he has no heir. And what is that? In that context, there was a promise that God gave him, and he laments over the fact that he has no heir. To the lament of the saints in the book of Revelation, where they basically say, how long, O Lord? You know, how long is the suffering going to go on? And so we see it from beginning to end. Throughout Scripture, we see the people of God as they wrestle with the realities of a broken world and the pain of living in this world. And in Scripture, you learn how lament has served the people of God through the centuries and how it could help us through any season in our life or the life of someone close to us. I love the Scriptures. I love the Bible. I love what the Bible teaches me, but I also like what the Bible shows me. There's a difference, by the way. I mean, you can read Paul and you can learn a lot. it's clear how we should live. But what I love about so much of Scripture is what it shows me. It shows me real people as they're going through life, dealing with their own frailties and brokenness, struggles and pain, and how they wrestle with God through those experiences. And ultimately, we all come out victorious in the end, right? For those who persevere to the end. So I just encourage you to turn to the Scriptures in the midst of your pain and your sorrow. Find your story in the biblical story. Find those characters and people that you can relate to and take hold of them and take hold of God in the midst of that and allow that to speak to you and encourage you in your walk. The second thing that I want to just mention here this morning is lament and grief. I think I mentioned this in the first when I introduced all of this, but when I was approached by actually a counselor friend of mine, a therapist, and she wanted to offer a class on grief, I was kind of like, well, you can try, you know, like, I don't know, who's going to come to a 8-week group on grief, you know, a life group? That was my attitude, you know, When we did that class, it was probably one of the largest classes we've ever had. And I was struck profoundly, again, by the depth of grief that people carry in their hearts and sorrow. There was a situation, and I need to keep this deliberately vague, and this person is not here, but we had someone come to service. And I spoke to that person later in that week, and that person said, the night before I came, I was going to commit suicide. The night before I came, I was going to commit suicide. That is grief. That is some serious sorrow. So broken and sad that you don't think you can continue to live. And thankfully, that particular person's life has been transformed by the power of God. And they came and experienced the grace, or something happened in their lives. And it's all around us. And I think, I mean, to be honest with you, I don't like to feel that way. And to be even more honest with you, I'm not always sure I want to feel that way when you feel that way. I'm just telling you, I'm the kind of guy that, man, it's like, I'm just going to go backpacking, man. I'm just going to go out and, you know, I'm going to live my life and I'm going to have a good time and I'm going to go see every national park in the lower 48 states. I mean, I got all these wonderful, joyful plans. But man, I tell you, I just can't get away from this idea of grief. And lament is the prayer language for those who are struggling with sadness. It also helps us when we learn how to lament for others' pain. We communicate compassion and understanding for those who are going through pain. Oftentimes, when we go through pain, we can better relate to those others who are. Lament helps us to truly walk with others through their pain. In other words, what I'm trying to say is, if someone is hurting and in pain, it's not enough to give them trite answers. It's, you know, and we sometimes as Christians, we're guilty of this, aren't we? If somebody's really hurting and we just say, oh, it'll all work itself out in the end. Or if somebody loses a loved one, well, they're in a better place. Okay, great. Yeah. Like, I know that already. But when we learn ourselves how to enter into other people's lament, it is a powerful, powerful way to extend the grace of God into other people's lives. It's one of the reasons why at funerals and memorial services, I'm very sensitive to all the grief and the pain that's in the room. And I personally feel like my calling is to mediate their lament, or to facilitate their lament, to facilitate their pain. I usually don't stand before them with, you know, joy, joy, happy, happy, it's all going to work out in the end. Even for the Christian, we'll celebrate. There'll be elements of celebration. But listen, I know that my mom is in heaven. But I miss her. You could tell me my mom's in heaven till the cows come home, and I look forward to the day that I get to see her again. But I don't get to see her right now. And I miss her. And I stood at her gravesite and cried like a baby. Thank you very much. But this idea of lament, it's not just for the crisis moments. It can be applied in less intense times as well. Lament can help reorient us when a friend misunderstands us, or family finances are inadequate, when there's conflict in marriage, when we're left out of something, when we fail to receive that promotion, or the baby won't sleep through the night. We can get this concept of turning to God in the midst of those things, complaining, asking, and trusting to those situations that arise on a day-to-day basis. The third thing then is lament and prayer. And this is, to me, very powerful. In Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 30 to 32, God actually says, "Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, all of you according to your ways, says the Lord God. Repent and turn from all your transgressions, otherwise iniquity will be your ruin. cast away from you all the transgressions that you have committed against me, and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, says the Lord God. Turn then and live. Here we actually see God lamenting. So if you're not convinced yet of the grace of lament, God laments. God is lamenting over the state of his people. And even in the midst of judgment, God says, you get this glimpse into the heart of God when he says, why will you die, O house of Israel? Why won't you turn? And then once Ezekiel connects with the heart of God, God asks him to lament over the leaders of Israel. You see what's going on here? Ezekiel gets a glimpse into the heart of God, lamenting over his people. When he has that, then he turns, and God says, lament over the leaders of your people. And then just soon after these verses that we just read, it says, as for you, raise up a lamentation for the princes of Israel. That's God speaking to Ezekiel. And then Ezekiel does that. Jesus also laments when he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stoned those who were sent to you. How I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate, for I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. But this idea, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, it's a lament over the city. Even a city that had failed God again and again. And I don't know about you, but I need the heart of God to move me. Amen. To keep me from growing hard. Because there's a part of me, again, I'm just being honest with you, there's a part of me that's just like, stop the world, God. I want to get off. Just get me out of here. Or I'm going to hide away. I'm going to jump in my motorhome and just drive around. It's too much. I can't deal with it. It's gone too far. God says, no. You lament and you pray and you believe and you ask. God's bigger than what we're experiencing here. The fourth thing then is lament and sin. Psalm 130 verses 1 through 6 says, out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you so that you may be revered. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning, more than those who watch for the morning. The sense of practicing lament can facilitate confession and a greater sensitivity to sin. Something that our culture is trying to run away from and say it doesn't even exist. You know that, right? Culturally, there's no wrong. Except for to say that there is wrong. You could just, anything goes. And the thing is that I'm finding this cultural attitude coming into the church. This sense of, it doesn't really make any difference what I do because God's grace is there for me, right? So, and if you love me, Jim, it's sneaking into the sermon, but Jim gave me a book to read. But if you love me, then you will unconditionally accept me. I'm sorry, friends, that is totally unbiblical. In fact, I'm on a tangent right now, but if you read your Bible, the promises of God, many of them are conditional promises. If you do this, I'll do this. See, and some of you are sitting here, and that's driving you crazy. You don't even like to hear me say that. Why is that? Because you have been culturally indoctrinated. Because love and acceptance, unconditional acceptance, have become synonymous culturally. If you love me, you would accept me. No. That is not biblical, and it's actually very recent. Kind of gave birth in the 60s, right? We need to be honest about our sin. We need to deal with the reality of conditions. And we can lament over those things and draw near to God. We can confess our sin. I mean, even how do you confess sin if there is no sin? It gives us a language for godly sorrow and a reason to hope again. And friends, sin is a serious business because it's wrecking a lot of stuff. It's wrecking a lot of people's lives. It's wrecking our nation. Some of you have heard this story probably more than once. I'm going to tell it really quick. But I was on a plane ride from Belize in Central America to Houston. I think that's where, maybe it's Houston to Seattle. I can't remember which part of the lake. And I had this conversation with this guy. And we talked about everything under the sun, even religions, even Hinduism and Buddhism and all this stuff. This guy was, and he was open to having a conversation. And we started talking about Christianity. And then he was even okay with Jesus. But then I mentioned our sin. And this guy completely lost it. He says, we don't sin. There is no such thing as sin. And he was getting more and more irate. And I was like, well, I'm just, you know, why do you need Jesus or even religion if there's no problem, right? Oh, and he got so mad. He got so mad that he rang for the flight attendant and asked to be moved to another seat, right? So I'm sitting there going, wow, this guy didn't like sin very much, you know, the idea of sin. But the point is that it's a reflection of our culture, right? And just to quickly end that story, as he sat down, and this was a number of years ago now, they wouldn't do this today, but they, as he sat down in another row and he got his, they were going to start this thing, a movie type thing, and he puts on his headphones and he plugs them in, and then on the screen literally goes, "The Life of Billy Graham." And I watched the guy rip the headphones off his head and throw them down on the ground. I'm like, dude, man, you're just not listening, I think. So anyway, but lament, I think when we truly lament, it's a godly sorrow that we can be then repent of our sin. It's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. It's the kindness of God that says, this is sin, don't do it. It's the love of God that does that. All right. So these are just a handful of thoughts on how lament applies to our personal life. So we talked about lament in Scripture. We talked about lament and grief. We talked about lament and sin. We all do this. I can't believe it. And we talked about lament and prayer. And again, there are so many applications in our life. And from this point on, we're not going to have this big focus on lament. But I know I want to keep a lot of these worship songs in our repertoire because there's so many people that come into this situation who need to connect with the idea of lament, acknowledge their pain. So we've talked about it on a personal level, but real briefly, lament can also be expressed on a larger level. We can lament as a congregation over the sins of our city and nation, over our own sin, over our own failings as a church. We can lament in a corporate sense as well. We did that a month ago on our first Saturday of month prayer time. We spent the whole time just lamenting over different things in a corporate way. We should be lamenting as a nation. And there were times in the past when our leaders would call for days of prayer and repentance, fasting. But I guess ultimately I pray that this series has opened your heart to the grace of lament, that it is a gift from God to us, The pain and hardship come in unexpected and unwelcomed ways. It's a reality of life. Lament is the personal song that expresses our grief while embracing God's goodness. And it's not something that we set out to sing. I don't wake up in the morning going, Lord, I just want to sing the song of lament today. Thank you. I don't do that. I don't think you do either. But it is there. It's not a song we set out to sing, but it can help you find grace during the times of pain and sorrow in your life. I encourage you, stop trying to bury your pain. Stop trying to avoid your pain. I actually encourage you to embrace your pain and allow the pain and allow the Spirit of God to change you, to transform you, not by avoidance, but by walking right through it and allowing God to do his work in the midst of our pain. I'm looking out here I know where most of you, I think, are at in your relationship with God, but my heart, maybe for some who are listening, is that I would just say again that to cry is human, but to lament is Christian. And if you have not ever surrendered your heart, your life to Jesus Christ, then you have no, I don't know what avenue you have to deal with the pain that's in your life. In fact, we know many don't have that avenue because of the high rate of suicide and different things that happen. That's unresolved pain that they just don't know what else to do, and that's what happens. And I want to encourage all of you, even those of you here, and maybe those who are watching online, don't go another day without really looking into the claims of Jesus on your heart and life. And allow yourself to submit yourself, to give yourself completely to Jesus Christ. And then you have a person, a God in heaven, who you can go to with your pain and your sorrow and your suffering. So today is the day. Don't go another day carrying all those burdens yourself. And if there's any way that myself or anyone else could help maybe explain a little more clearly what that means and how to do that, we're here for you. You can submit something in the comment line or send us an email or reach out to us with a phone or something. But we want to be here to point you to the one who can help you really deal with the pain and suffering that's occurred in your life. So in light of that, I'm going to pray in just a moment. You'll notice communion is up here today. And the reason, in my own way of thinking, to have communion here, it's my little way of saying embrace your pain. Like, make movement. Get up, come forward, and take communion, which is the very act of God, by the way, embracing your pain. Do you realize that? What did Jesus do? He took all of our sin upon himself at the cross. All of our pain, all of our brokenness, and all of our sorrow was laid on the Son of God in that moment. And so today, as you come forward to take communion, to take it, you can kneel at the altar if you want, you can take it back to your seat, but as you eat the bread and drink from the cup, embrace in that moment not only your own pain, but the fact that Jesus embraces that pain with you, that you're not suffering alone. That those things in your life that are hurting you and dragging you down, you're not alone. Jesus was a man of sorrows and was acquainted with grief. And he can embrace that with you and help you walk through that. So, worship team, if you'd come up while I'm praying, and then just whenever you're ready, as they're playing, you can come up and get the communion today. So, Lord God Almighty, I just cry out to you today. I cry out to you that you would help us to embrace the idea of lament. That, Lord, that we would really come to the altar today, that we would boldly approach even your throne, and that in doing so, we would understand that you are with us in our pain, that in the same way you embraced all the sin and sorrow and pain of life, took it all upon you on the cross, God, that you walk with us in the midst of that. So I thank you, Lord, that you identify with our lament and you hear our cry. In Jesus' name, amen.